tomorrow we get to celebrate Labor Day. We celebrate those who are working by giving them a day off. But our labors themselves are to be celebrated as well, because God created us to work. After creating humans, God instructed them to care for the earth and to multiply. God created Adam and placed him in Eden to tend it. God empowered Adam to name all the animals. God ordained physical and creative work, and as we engage in our vocations, we live into the likeness of God. And we do need rest from our labors, and so we have holidays, but more importantly, God gave us Sabbath. So God rightly ordered our time. Too often, however, the time that we have been given is disordered. We are too busy. We can't get everything done that we planned. And at the same time, we waste the time that we have been given. A couple of hours of TV here, 15 minutes of messing on our phone or our computers there, and then another 15 minutes, and the next thing you know, hours have gone by. We are surrounded by numerous distractions, and I will be the first to confess that I waste a lot of time. Part of it is I get overtired because I'm guilty of not taking proper Sabbath rest. So here and there, I waste time because I'm tired, and then I probably end up wasting more time than I would if I actually was more disciplined in taking Sabbath rest. Our psalm today speaks of the frustrations of being mortals who are bound by time. This is the only psalm in the Psalter attributed to Moses, so it is very old. We don't know when in his life it was written. Some say at the very end. Some say during the Exodus while wandering in the wilderness. Others say it was during Moses' 40 years of exile prior to the Exodus. But we really have no idea of knowing the timing or the occasion. Moses begins his psalm not by talking about time, but about talking about space. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Our God, who is a God who is outside time and space, is our home. And because God is everywhere, we are always at home when we are in God. When we are living in the Lord, we are living our eternal life. And time and space are not important. J. Clinton McCann Jr. says that God is the only place that counts. If our place is right, then our time will be right. Jesus said that he does not simply give life, he is life. And Moses knows that this is true, even though he's never heard or read Jesus say that. So the problem is we are not always at home with our Lord, which was reflected in our prayer of confession this morning, that we don't always make our home in God. We choose to dwell in other places. After Moses celebrates God as being our home, he praises God for God's immortality and eternity, that God has been from everlasting to everlasting. God existed before God gave birth to the mountains or the earth. But Moses feels that he is trapped in time, and God has trapped people in time. He is not feeling that time is a gift, because people are bound for destruction, and the time that we have been given passes, oh, so quickly. Time is irrelevant to God. 1,000 years is like a 3-hour night. They'll watch in the night. People are like grass. They grow quickly, they flourish for a little while, then they're cut down or wither away. Moses alludes to our short lifespan being due to the consequences of the fall and God's wrath upon humankind, that death entered the world through sin. In Romans 5:12, it says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all have sinned." Death is alienation from God. We are not at home with God. We are separated from Him, and the wages of sin is death. We are dead when we are not at home with God. This is a state that every person is in unless by grace they receive Christ. In verse 10 of Psalm 90, we read 70 years or 80 years. Well, Moses actually lived to be 120. And certainly we have many, and we have some in this room who are over 80 and many who are over 70. And yet, unlike the negativity of this verse, not all of our years are sorrowful. We have some good years. We have great years. Still, our days are numbered. Every single one of us, no matter how old we are, our days are numbered. And we don't know how many there will be. God does, but we don't. And we do have much hardship in life. We have horrible days. We have bad years. And our years seem to fly by. Nicole Nordeman has a song popular right now, Slow Down, how she wishes that her kid wouldn't grow up so fast. It always seems like we don't have enough time. Jim Croce sang in the 70s about what it would be like to be able to save time in a bottle and spend it with the person that he loved. We can't stop the days from passing by, but we can learn not to take them for granted. Bernard Anderson writes what a healthy perspective of ourselves in regard to our limited time would look like. He says, a rabbi observed that a person should carry in a pocket two stones, one inscribed with, "For my sake the world was created," and the other, "I am but dust and ashes." Each stone should be pulled out as the occasion requires to remind us of who we are in God's creation. This is a good illustration of the wisdom that is found in the Psalms. There are Psalms that exalt human beings to a position of supremacy in God's creation, that endow them with the role of expressing praise of the whole creation to the Creator. Human beings are called to be kings and queens in God's earthly estate. Though related to the soil, like the animals as portrayed in the paradise story in Genesis, human beings transcend natural world and are objects of God's concern. Their tremendous achievements in the fields of medicine and transportation, communication, space exploration, music and the arts, to mention only a few, may be regarded as the exercise of the task that God has given to human beings to be the agents of the divine rule. Against philosophies that reduce the human to the level of nature, Israel's psalmist and able one to say, "For my sake, the world was created." On the other hand, the high position of human beings in God's cosmic administration may tempt them to live like the fool who says there is no God. When human beings attempt to play God as though they were running the show, their royal dominion over the earth leads to the picture portrayed in the primeval history in Genesis 2 through 11, violence that corrupts the earth to the point that chaos threatens to return. Wisdom Psalms humble us with a somber reminder that human life, in contrast to God's eternity, is evanescent, like the flash of a firefly in the night. Frail and earthly creatures, we are made from the dust, and to dust we shall return. In the wisdom perspective of Psalm 90, all our vaunted achievements, impressive as they are, mean nothing except for God's faithfulness, which overarches and undergirds human life from birth to death. So when we are tempted to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, Israel's sages teach us to say, "I am but dust and ashes." Moses feels vulnerable in this psalm. And vulnerability is not a bad thing, for it makes us dependent upon God and interdependent with our fellow human beings. Brené Brown has a well-liked TED Talk on vulnerability, so if you haven't listened to it or if you're into TED Talks, you might want to look her up, Google her, and listen to it. We are frail. We don't have it all together. We need to be humble before our almighty and eternal God. Folk singer Claire Holly and her husband wrote a song in the 90s called Night Air. The song is of a man walking along, kind of talking to himself, talking to God, talking to the sky. And he realizes that he is mortal and that he is frail before God. He knows the end of his life is not the end of the world and takes comfort in that. His prayer as he walks becomes, "So touch me and help me to touch things. Help me to make a difference," the song says. We desire to leave our mark on the world, a positive legacy, in the short time that we have. And when we entrust our lives to God, physical death is no longer a problem. We still live in spite of physical death because our life is hidden with Christ in God. Our God is a God of resurrection. In Christ, we who are mortal put on immortality. Again, J. Clinton McCann Jr. says, "Really, death is not an occasion for despair, but prayer." In Psalm 90:14, Moses prays, "Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days." It is good to come to saving faith in the Lord at a young age. We waste less of our days that way. Yes, God does and can redeem people at the time of their very last breath or in their latter years, but how much better is it that we live with God throughout one's life, to live for God with your life? And so he says, "Let us come to know you early." In the next verse, Moses asks that God may give as many glad days and years as those with which we see evil and are afflicted. And honestly, I think God does better than that. I don't think he gives us as many. I think he gives us more. Our Colossian passage tells us to make the most of every opportunity, to redeem the time. Paul is not talking about how we carry out our vocations, though that's part of it, but how we live every aspect of our lives. Paul focuses on our interactions with other people, those who are our superiors, those in positions under us, our peers, those who are near to us, those who are far away from us, who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who are outside the body of Christ. He begins with prayer. If we're going to make the most of every opportunity, we ought to pray. We never waste time when we are praying. In fact, prayer helps us to center our lives, to make God our home, to live in the Lord. And God then orders our steps and our time is rightly used. Paul tells us to pray for openings to share the gospel, to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. We are also to engage non-believers with wisdom, which comes from the Lord, and to speak with grace. We are called to do work that bears eternal fruit. This is how Moses ends his prayer. He asks that God would establish the work of our hands, that the beauty of God would be upon us to be seen in us. We can't do everything in the finite time that we've been given. We can't meet every single need, but we can do something, and we can participate in building God's kingdom. There was a quotation in our Sunday school lesson a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week, that was attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. "Remember that when you leave this earth, you can take with you nothing that you have received, only that which you have given." We take with us that which we have given. In verse 16 of Psalm 90, we read of the children of the servants of the Lord. Having and raising children in the Lord is one way we leave a legacy. Child rearing and parenting is a worthwhile use of our time. Children symbolize that life goes on. Moses asked God to teach us to number our days. Numbering our days keeps us from living too much in the future or too much in the past. We can't go back, and we don't really know if tomorrow is going to come. But we have been given today, and we are called to spend it wisely. So let us live as those who are aware that our time is limited and make the most of every day, of every opportunity, of every moment that we have been given for work, for creativity, for Sabbath rest, for building and nurturing relationships, for justice, for righteousness, for sharing and living the gospel. Let us live each day with gratitude, because though God knows all of our days, we do not. And so we are called to be thankful for every moment. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are awed by your eternalness. We can only think in time, and yet you are. Your name is the great I Am. Lord, help us to be thankful for the time that you have given us, to start by making you our home so that you order our time rightly. Help us to know when to rest and when to work, when to speak and to be silent. For you have said that there is a time and place for everything, a purpose for everything. Lord, make us grateful for all of our days, and do give us good years, many good years and days and moments. Help us to be people of gratitude, and help us to be people who make the most of every opportunity. Thank you for the gift of time. Help us to see it as a gift and not as a burden. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who entered time for our sake. Amen.